Good evening and welcome to Shift Church on this Ash Wednesday. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Church in Wellington and St Catherine's Eyton. And this is Shift Church. Welcome to those of you joining us live on Facebook, and welcome to those catching up later either on Facebook or YouTube or listening to the podcast. And this evening I've got a couple of folk with me from the team. Say good evening, Lynn.
Good evening.
And say good evening, Liz.
Good evening, Liz.
Very good. And I suspect that we'll have folks slowly drifting in if they're on the Facebook stream. If you're watching live, do say hello on the comments stream and we'll say hello back. Liz will in the next couple of minutes. If you're listening, catching up afterwards or listening on the podcast and you want to say hello or ask questions about anything we're talking about or comment or join in, drop us an email. tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll bring them into next week's session. So that would be good.
Hi, Charlotte. Lovely to see you. Hello, Rose and Margaret and Ali and Claire. We're all coming on now.
They're used to being here at 8 o'clock, you see, on. And it is Ash Wednesday today, as I said. So this is a bit of an Ash Wednesday special. I'll say a little bit more about that. But yesterday, of course, was Shrove Tuesday. Who had pancakes? Lynn had pancakes. Liz had pancakes.
Lynn cooked pancakes.
I had pancakes. Very good. What we want to hear is from the stream, any interesting fillings that you had on your pancakes or things that you make pancakes out of. Do you make like normal pancake batter, or are you adventurous with your pancakes? What about you, Lynn? Are you like traditional lemon and sugar or something else?
Oh, we had a range. We had lemon, sugar, Vegemite.
Where did you get Vegemite from?
Out of a jar.
Oh, I know. Where did you get the jar from?
I can't remember. It's been in the cupboard forever. Because you just don't use a lot of it, obviously.
I go through Marmite really quickly. If I had a jar of Vegemite in the cupboard, it wouldn't last very long at all.
I'd better guard it safely then. blueberries, chocolate sauce, not obviously all at the same time. Oh, cream cheese. James tried cream cheese and marmalade. Said that was okay.
Well, funny you say that about all at the same time. Because our dear children decided that it was a good idea to put all the toppings on at the same time, just to see what it tasted like. So all the toppings included lemon, sugar, Nutella, cream, blueberries, cheese, chili sauce, and
oh no, that's just wrong.
A hot chili chutney from the fridge that Tim insisted they have. Was that about it? Oh, and bolognese sauce. They decided this was a good idea, and then looked rather red in the face when they got to the very hot chili sauce bit.
Indeed, they were not well.
Made me laugh.
But they did eat them all up, because that's the rule. Is if you put stupid things on your pancake in our house, if you put silly things on your pancake, that's fine. You've just got to eat it.
Dear.
No wasted food. We don't do food waste in our house.
Not quite. We've got a few toppings here. Charlotte had a very kind person sent through Deliveroo with some strawberries and marshmallows on hers. Ali had dark chocolate and lime.
And Claire had classy
with vanilla ice. I know, that is classy, right? Claire had chocolate spread with vanilla ice cream and fruit. And Karen Renshaw had banana, peanut butter, Nutella, whipped cream and marshmallow.
Oh, wow.
That sounds nice. That's like a banana split in a pancake.
That is good. David, the Sims had can maple syrup, marshmallow and Malteser spread.
Ooh.
Malteser spread. What is this Malteser spread you speak of?
Well, it'll be chocolate with crunchy bits, I imagine.
I feel that we should investigate this Malteser spread.
Sounds like it. The one other one I want to investigate that I've seen advertised is chili Marmite.
No.
Well, you can have your Malteser spread if I can have my chili Marmite.
I'll give you some of my dried chilies.
Anyway, enough of the frivolity and the pancakes. I think we've left enough time now for folk to join us. It's good to have you with us. So yesterday was Shrove Tuesday, which is why we're talking about pancakes. And today is Ash Wednesday, which kind of traditionally in the church calendar has been, well, it is the beginning of Lent. It's a time when we start looking towards Easter and that preparation time through Lent as we prepare for Easter. And a time of just reflecting on our lives and perhaps on things we get wrong, things we need to say sorry to God for. And of course, normally traditionally on Ash Wednesday, we'd be putting ash crosses on people's foreheads as a symbol of our mortality. And we haven't been able to do that this year. So this is a Shift Church special. For those of you who are Shift Church regulars, it'll be a bit different. You'll recognise it, but there'll be some different stuff as we go through. For those of you who don't normally dial into Shift Church, but have come along because it's Ash Wednesday, you're really welcome. Hope you find it helpful and it'll give you a bit of a flavour of what Shift Church is usually like as well. But there'll be some traditional elements as well as we reflect on Ash Wednesday. And particularly what we're reflecting on this evening is the idea of lament. Ashes, as well as being a sign of mortality, are traditionally, in a lot of cultures, a sign of grief and mourning and lamenting. And we just had a sense that there's been a lot that we've lost, a lot of us, over the last 12 months. And so this is a space for us to just explore how we might express that to God. Now, the thing with lament is that a true lament can be like heart-rending. And it may be that as you're listening to this as catch-up, or even if you're watching live, there might be something that really catches your heart, that you start crying or you just, it gets you. I just want you to look after yourselves. If you need to stop the video or stop the podcast and have a bit of a cry or just gather yourself, it's one of the great things about doing it like this is it's not like we're all in the building and you feel embarrassed about getting upset. You've got time to be upset and to stop it and come back to it. And just look after yourselves. If it's getting to you too much, just dial out. Nobody's going to see you go. It's fine. So just wanted to put that bit of health warning in advance. It's not going to be scary, but there may just be things that come up for you. So look after yourselves. So with that, we're going to do our normal thing. We're going to have a bit of a spoken word piece just to give us space to breathe, to focus on our theme for this evening. And it's going to be one of the Psalms, and there are many Psalms of Lament. It's going to be one of the Psalms of Lament. So wherever you are, whether you're at home watching live, or whether you're out walking the dog, or in your kitchen listening to this, or at work listening to this, just take a breath. To just listen to these words and just start thinking about that theme of lament. Here we go.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemy will say, I have overcome. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
So, as I said, that was a Psalm of Lament, Psalm 13, if you want to look it up later and have a read and reflect on it yourself. We've got a couple more Bible readings, which is going to continue our introduction to this theme. And there is actually a whole book in the Bible of lament. It's called Lamentations, clues in the title. And Lynn is going to read a bit of it. Which bit are you going to read, Lynn?
The first reading is going to be from Lamentations 1, verses 1 to 7.
And where is Lamentations?
Lamentations is just after Jeremiah. If you know where all the major prophets are, it's somewhere after that.
About two-thirds of the way in.
Okay, Lamentations 1, verse 1. And I'm reading from the New International Version. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who was once great above the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. Excuse me. After affliction and harsh labour, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The road to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate, her priests groan. Her maidens grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters, her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief, because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendour has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in the days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, there's a lot to lament there. Yeah. So, Liz, what are you reading for us?
I am reading Luke chapter 19, verses 37 to 44. And this is the kind of narrative about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the colt on Palm Sunday. And they've just spread their cloaks on the road before him. So from verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the disciples in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
Hmm.
Oh, that's pretty hefty stuff as well, isn't it?
It is. Here you go. Are you feeling a bit better? Cough better, Lynn?
All right, Lynn.
Oh, Lynn's got herself a glass of water. There you are. So, yeah, just a few thoughts on these biblical examples of of lamentation, of lamenting, of grieving before God. And in the Old Testament, we get quite a lot of this. We get it in Psalms. We actually get it in the writings of the prophet Jeremiah as well. And here in Lamentations, we have a whole book of it, of basically what's happened is that the people of God, having escaped from Egypt and having had the kings and having lived in the promised land, all the good things that God promised to Abraham have come about for them. But then they've disobeyed God and not been faithful to them, to him. And their enemies have come and destroyed them and taken them off into exile. And they've destroyed the temple, and the remnant, the people who are left, are lamenting this, are grieving, are mourning. And one of the really distinctive features about the book of Lamentations is that there's a real sense of, at places, anger with God, a real sense of calling God to account for the level of destruction that the people have experienced. And that's not common in the Bible, but it is there. It does come up again and again, almost a permission for us to be real with God. And when things are happening that are awful, that God is big enough to take that. Yeah. God is big enough for us to say to God, this is awful, this isn't fair, it's not right, don't understand. And actually, in Lamentations, we don't really get very much resolution of that. There's one right in the middle. There's probably the most famous verse in Lamentations, ironically. So right in the middle, there's two verses, or three verses in chapter 3, that talks about God's compassion and faithfulness and how God is good to those who hope in them. And it's a bit more than that. It's five verses. It's chapter 3, verses 22 for 27. And those are the bits people like to quote from Lamentations. But the rest of it is just, God, what's happening? And right in the middle, there's a, yet I'll call this to mind. I will hope in God.
Yeah.
And it's not that you have to let go of the hope in God when we're honest with God in lament and say, this is just awful. Yeah. I don't understand. God can take it. God can definitely take it. I wonder if you two got any further reflections on the Lamentations bit.
Funnily enough, I've got some verses underlined from obviously way back when, but they're just before talking about Lamentations 3:19-21. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Mm. And it's the yes, you know, therefore I have hope, I think.
Yeah.
Because the whole bit that I read out at the beginning, that the writer, what struck me was the writer sort of taken himself out, and she is the city or the country of Judah. And it talks about she, and it talks about God. The writer is sort of taken out of the picture, as it were.
Yeah, it's actually if you want to do some work on Lamentations, one of the interesting things you can do is go through and look at the pronouns. So there are some chapters which are written about Jerusalem, about her, or about the people, and then chapter 3, for instance, it's all written from the first person. It's I have seen this affliction. I've been punished. It's rubbish. So yeah, you do get this movement. And so we can lament on the path of other people, and we can lament on behalf of ourselves as well. And actually that moves us nicely on to Luke, to what Jesus is saying, because here we have Jesus lamenting. Here we have Jesus weeping over something and lamenting on behalf of what he can see coming for Jerusalem. He can see this disaster coming, and he knows that if they listen to him, it would avert the disaster, but he also knows they're not going to listen to him. And so he's weeping for them. And I wonder if you've ever had that situation where you can see something happening in somebody's life, and it's like you're watching a car crash in slow motion. You just know it's going to go wrong. Yeah. And you're just crying out in your heart for them. You're just like, what? why are you making this decision? Why are you making these choices? But they're free agents, so they're making these choices. You can't do anything about that. But you can just see the car crash coming. And you might want to lament with Jesus, oh, if only you just not do this. And you can't say it to them because that would destroy the relationship and they'll never listen to you again. But you can say it to God.
Yeah, and it's leaving them to God, isn't it? And laying them before God's feet and kind of saying, I'm going to trust you with this. It's not something that I can solve. We don't have to go in and be the solution to everybody's.
Yeah, we like to fix things, don't we?
Yeah, even if we can see it happening.
Yeah.
I love the disciples in that passage because they're kind of like, they're just having a good time, aren't they? They probably don't really get why Jesus is suddenly sort of going into all this doom and gloom when they've just gone through all this, praise the Lord, Hosanna. What's he doing now? And that's just what they're like, isn't it? They don't really see beyond where they are right then. But Jesus sees the big picture.
Yeah, I was really struck by that. I wonder how common that is, that it can feel like everybody else around you is having a party and your heart is breaking.
Yeah.
And isn't it hard when your heart's breaking and everybody else around you is cheering? And it's just, you feel so lonely.
Yeah. And Jesus must have felt really lonely at that point with everybody else sort of not getting it.
So we get this idea of the loneliness of lament. We get this idea of lamenting on behalf of others and lamenting about things you can see coming that we get from Jesus here. So just holding on to some of those ideas of what we can do with lament and what it means to be in a valley in darkness and those glimmers of hope. We're going to have a bit of video now. This is part of Nick Brooks' story. He's one of the members of staff here at All Saints, for those who aren't so familiar with All Saints. And this is the story of a dark time that he went through and a time of lamenting that he had and how he found some hope in it. So I'm going to share this. Here we go.
Hi, Tim asked me to share with you my personal story of experiencing those moments of high adrenaline and just reaching these peaks and then being brought down to a very deep valley or a pit. And for me, that happened just over 10 years ago. Well, yeah, it began around 10 years ago. So Cindy and I just moved to England as missionaries. And we had worked really hard and I to get to that point. And for me, I felt like this was a calling that Jesus had placed on my life a long time ago. And I had just worked really hard to get here. And so we were finally here. And so, of course, adrenaline was sky high. Expectations were sky high. And even though in our training, we were, they, of course, warn us, don't set expectations too high, but when adrenaline's high, you can't help it. And so I don't know. I guess you just kind of think, all right, I'm finally fulfilling what God has called me to do, and he's going to work through me, and I'm going to really just see some people come to the Lord, and just great things are going to happen. Well, and we did see some great things, really. But after that initial honeymoon period, reality kind of sets in. And we were about into that year mark. And apparently it's really typical for a lot of first-term missionaries to experience a really low point at around that first year period. And it hit me hard because we were right in the middle of a very gray and depressing winter. This was right like January, February. And, I guess I started to feel frustrated. That's where the spiral downhill began, and started asking, like, well, why am I even here? Like, it doesn't seem like I'm accomplishing anything like I had hoped. And yeah, so that's where it just starts. And then it just goes down even further of just holding a resentment to God. Just like, why did you put me through this? I mean, years of preparing for this, and is this all it is? And we had to sell all of our stuff. We had to sacrifice a lot to get to this point. And I guess this is when the moment of disillusionment really just sunk in. And then the spiral just continues to go downhill. From resenting God to all the way to the point of beginning to just lose absolute faith in Him. And then that's when it was really at my bottom, and thinking all of these major life decisions that I've made have been based around my faith that I no longer have. And then I began to feel very guilty, because we were here as missionaries, being funded by people from the States, to sent here to proclaim a message that at that time I didn't really believe in. So I felt like I was deceiving the people if I did preach to anyone, and I'm deceiving the people who have sent us here. And I felt like everything was just a big lie. I was living out this big lie because I fell for the lie. And I was in a very dark and a scary place. Sydney was very concerned for me at that time. But thankfully, the mission agency that we were with at that time, it just happened to be perfect timing, really. They had a retreat a week booked for all the missionaries in Europe that they had to go to Austria. And the picture and the place that they sent us to was just, it's probably the most beautiful place I've ever been. We stayed in this place that looked like a castle, and there's snow-capped mountains around, and there's like this big, pretty lake. The whole thing was just perfect, and the weather was perfect, and I was just miserable. This retreat, we would just be assigned little bits of scripture, and we were just asked to sit with it all day and wait for God to speak to us. And so first day, went through it was just horrible. Second day, just nothing, and I just was feeling miserable. And at that point, that evening, I talked to one of the long-term missionaries. He's been a missionary for like 30-some years, of just what I was experiencing, and telling him, I'm ready just to pack it up and go back. And but the thing that really began to shine a light, so you see that this isn't it, was that I can almost see his face light up and recognizing, like, he just told me, like, he's been there. And he just encouraged me, just stay this retreat and just wait. And if by the end, whatever decision you make, like, I'll support you in it. And it was on the third day, I was just, I was assigned Romans 11, and it's 33 to 36. It says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And that was, I sat with that, and God gave me a picture, which I won't go into all the details, but basically it was just pointing out a very hard message that I needed to hear. And it wasn't the easiest message to hear, but I heard God speak to me, and that was all I needed, really. But the message was basically, I'm not God. And that has stuck with me. And I'm looking back over those moments of living in the pit, and how I'm so thankful for that period. And I think back to that a lot, and it has formed my faith and have strengthened my faith more than maybe any other moment that I can think of. So sometimes Being in the pit isn't the worst place to be, even though it feels like it at the moment.
So thanks to Nick for sharing his story of being in a dark place and what helped him through that.
Yeah, well, such honesty on there, that's really here, isn't it?
Yeah. We got any little bits of feedback?
Yeah, a few thoughts about lament on the thread here. David's talking about how he's not much of a lament. He might be surprised to hear he's more of a tigger. And it's not that he finds it hard to do or that covers up his feelings. It's just he doesn't really do it much. But then he does say, I've had a few moments of having a go at God. I guess at the moment I'm generally on the mountain, not in a valley. And I guess that, you know, that is it, isn't it? We have different times in our lives when we're on the mountain and different times we're in the valley. And it's finding those, finding ways to lament when we're in the valley. And like Nick said, it's okay to be in that pit for a bit and we can find treasure in it. Kate says, I think lamenting to God is easier than remembering to thank and praise him when things go well. So yeah, that's about the balance of doing both, isn't it? Not just doing one or other. Mm-hmm. Ali says she's had to learn how to lament and know that God's okay with it. Finds it easier just to shove stuff down and get on with it. But has found the sooner she laments, the sooner God enters in and brings comfort. You know, and Heather says some of us are lamenting the loss of the last year that the locusts have eaten. Mm. I think there is a real sense of that for so many of us.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing we're going to do next is a bit of a lament exercise, actually. So you might want to have a pen and paper to hand, and particularly if you're listening back, you might want to hit pause and go and find a pen and paper. But even if you're watching live, you can hit pause and go and find pen and paper and then come back. And we're going to have a go at writing a psalm of lament using a bit of a framework based on the psalms of lament from the Bible. If you'd like to share what you're thinking at each stage, do feel free to put it in the comment stream. It might be too personal, mate. You may not feel like you want to. But if you do, put it in the comment stream. And if at the end you've got a complete psalm of lament that you want to share with us, email it in, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. So the first thing we're going to do, there are five sections to this, so we'll spend a couple of minutes on each one. And those on the screen are kind of make some suggestions as well. So the first thing is to address God.
Yeah.
Who is it that we're talking to? Which of God's names or titles relate to the thing that you're upset about, that you're grieving, that you're mourning, or speak of the qualities that you feel like you're missing in your life? And you might want to use a selection of God's names to start off with. In Hebrew, yeah. Go on, Liz.
Oh, and just going to say a lot, when you look at a lot of the Psalms, they do tend to use the names of God. Like the ones I remember are things like, oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The Lord's my shepherd. Those kind of things, just to take us into who God is and how he is our strength. We need to remind ourselves of that, don't we? When we are lamenting, we need to remind ourselves we're going to a God of strength. We're going to a God who is our rock. Those are the ones that come to my mind. But there's loads more.
The one that came to my mind as I was saying it was Jehovah Jireh, God our provider.
For me, it was merciful Lord, Lord of hope, of light.
And so kind of having put our dear God bit at the beginning, what is it that we want to complain about? What is it that we want to lament? And we can be quite detailed. What has happened? Who's hurting and why? Whose fault, if anybody's, is it? We can give God the full blast of our anger, our hurt, and our fear. And actually, as Lamentations, we can even dare to say, God, this isn't fair. This isn't fair of you, God.
Yeah, I've got a few situations at the moment with friends just going through some really, really difficult stuff. Just being that, using that, being really specific with God about the situation, but all also, you know, facing up to God really and saying, I don't understand what's going on. And there's I think it's Psalm 77, and I find that really helpful for lament, because it keeps asking questions of God. There's why have you left me? Where are you? Is your promise failed for all time? And I think that's quite a helpful way. Perhaps you can ask questions as well of God within the situation. So yeah, be specific.
Should I read out what I wrote?
Yeah, go on.
Well, I mourn the loss of species. I feel appalled and saddened that humanity has wiped out 60% of mammals, fish, and birds and reptiles since 1970, in the last 50 years. And heartbroken that mankind is destroying the ice caps in my lifetime, and soil poisoning the seas and the rivers. To think that our grandchildren will never need to see the Sumatran rhino, because they're extinct now, and our grandchildren or our grandchildren's grandchildren may never see an orangutan or a hedgehog or a red squirrel or a water vole, because these are all endangered. And they're endangered because we have made it so. Humanity has treated the world that God made with greed and arrogance, and as if it was a thing to be plundered and raped, not something that we are putting, not in charge of, but to look after. We have thought that we are better than the whole of creation, but we're not. And I grieve that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Charlotte's just asking about the word lament, it being a new word to her. Sort of just clarifying what lament is. And yeah, you're right, it is. It's just like expressing our grief and sorrow or our disappointment in any way at all to God, but to other people as well. I think it's just a deep and profound way of really laying out our pain when we need to lay out our pain. I remember that the word lamentations in the Bible, the Hebrew translation of that is ikah, and that means how. So it's almost saying to God, how, I don't understand how you've allowed this to happen. I don't understand how it's happening. So it's very much quite a stark word, lament. It's just like lay out your pain, lay out your sadness, lay out your suffering before God.
Yeah.
And give it to him.
I came on this definition, which is quite good. It's not mine, but it's very good. Lament is bigger, deeper, stronger, and nobler than regret or simply being sorry. It's an honest and vulnerable laying before God or the universe or each other our deepest sorrow with the fracturing of our world or society or community, an acknowledgement of the healing.
Yeah. So, yeah, so having kind of expressed that and got all that in front of God, the next thing is to come back to God and just, like in the middle of Lamentations, just that little one sentence of hope or trust in our relationship with God. So I wonder if there's a way you might express that, express your trust in God. That sentence that Lynn read for us earlier from Lamentations is a really good example. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in God.
For me, it's a promise I was given when we had some hard life choices to make. And in fact, I could go one way or I could go the other. And I really didn't know which way God wanted me to go. And I went to the chapel at the Princess Royal, of all places, and picked up a card, and it had this verse in. For the note, for I know the plans you have for me, plans for good, not for evil. I'm probably misquoting horribly there, and I can't remember where it's from.
Jeremiah. But that,
Jeremiah, yeah, again. That sort of said it, you know, plans for good and not for evil. And that was the reassurance and hope that I needed. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what a lot of people need about now, for one reason or another, reassurance and hope mm-hmm. that God is in it with them. I know, as Nick said, you can go through that dark place. And I've been through that sort of dark night of the soul. But, and it's knowing that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and that God's with you in it. It's not very nice when you're in it, but it's obviously often a testing place.
Yeah. And then the next stage from that statement of trust is to kind of ask God what we want him to do. What is it that we want God to do? So we've kind of said, hello, God, I'm really angry about this, but I do trust you. This is what I want you to do. So what is it that you want God to do as a result of your lament? What do you want to write down that you want God to do tonight? And then finally, if you're ready, if you can come to a place where, having made your request to God, you can kind of finish it with that statement of trust or praise. Many of the Psalms of Lament do end up in that kind of final place of praising God. Some of them don't, and you can't force it. If you're not in that place, then don't try and force it. But maybe pray that you might come to that place and ask God to help you get to that place where, again, you can see hope and you can praise God. And that praise might be linked to the kind of the attributes, the character of God that you had at the beginning of what you'd written.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on, Liz.
One of my favorite, sorry, my internet's not very good. One of my favorite Psalms for that kind of, I'm going to praise anyways, is Psalm 42. Because he uses the words, yet I will praise. So it's kind of like admitting that everything really does hurt and everything is painful. But it's just that in that one little word, yet, is really a powerful word to sort of proclaim above everything else, yet I will praise. And he does that because he's remembered the work of God in his life.
I think I remember studying that psalm. It's a long one, isn't it? And that refrain props up like a refrain. And I think the writer made the point that yet I will is a statement of actively choosing. You've got to actively choose to, yet I will praise him at each point.
Yeah. And we're going to have, there aren't many lament songs around, but there are a few. And Lucy's recorded one for us. We're going to have a bit of music. You might want to continue writing and reflecting on this, just using that framework. Just before we do that, though, Liz, whilst we were praying beforehand, Liz had a bit of a picture or a thought for somebody that might be listening tonight. So I'm going to ask her to share that while I tee the video up. So over to you, Liz, just for a moment.
Yeah. No, it was interesting. David was talking about the mountains and the valleys, because when we were praying, I had a picture of somebody climbing a mountain, and it was one of the ones in the Lake District. And they were trying to climb the mountain in open-toed sandals, and it just wasn't going very well. It just kept slipping and sliding and hurting their toes. And then, you know, those mountains in the Lake District where you get to the, you think you've got to the summit, but you haven't. You get over the sort of crest of it, and then suddenly up ahead you see a whole new path, you know, down the valley and up again. You're like, oh, great, I've not reached the top. And then you reach the next one, same thing, and it can just go on forever. I think that it felt like God was saying, you know, there's somebody or more than one person here who feels like stuff is just going on forever at the moment, and you never quite reach the top, and it's just really hard work. And my impression was that Jesus was saying it is okay to slow down, because your footwear is not suitable for making these climbs at the moment. It's okay just to sit down in the pit in the valley, because I'm there with you. I'm walking in that pit with you. I'm sitting in that pit with where you need to be. And it's okay to sit there and to lament and say, this is really hard, but I can't quite get to that top.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to put this music on now. If that's resonated for you and you want to send Liz a private message or drop us an email just to ask us to pray for you, that's great. If you'd rather just keep it private, that's okay as well. But let's have some music to continue to reflect on this stuff.
You love me, your plans will grow.
one of the things, as I said earlier, is that one of the things on Ash Wednesday we traditionally do is lament over our own sinfulness and be aware of our own mortality. So we're going to finish off with some prayer tonight, and they are some traditional prayers from Ash Wednesday. Brothers and sisters in Christ, since early days, Christians have observed with great devotion the time of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and prepared for this by a season of penitence and fasting. By carefully keeping these days, Christians take to heart the call to repentance and the assurance of forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel, and so grow in faith and in devotion to our Lord. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. So we pray for grace to keep Lent faithfully. Holy God, our lives are laid open before you. Rescue us from the chaos of sin, and through the death of your Son, bring us healing and make us whole in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I invite you to reflect on Ash as a sign of the spirit of penitence with which we shall keep this season of Lent. God, our Father, you create us from the dust of the earth. Grant that ash may be for us a sign of our penitence and a symbol of our mortality, for it is by your grace alone that we receive eternal life in Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. So we're coming towards the end of our session here this evening. Any final comments from the stream, Liz?
Just a lot of comments on lament and some people's sharing some of their psalms and their prayers as well. And just people to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
Could we all pray for shielders, because it'll be over a year and it's just really difficult for people shielding.
Yeah.
And hold on. Yeah, just general comments really about God walking with us on that path of sorrow. And I love, I love those words in that song. I think it's really powerful.
It's good, isn't it?
But, you know, we're seeing in the shadows. It's amazing. And what's true in the light is still true in the dark. So what's true of God's promises when things are good is still true when things are hard.
Yeah, what sprung out for me was weep with me. Because sometimes you're saddened by something. But like you said, you're the only one and everybody else is partying. But God weeps with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be thinking about some of the spiritual disciplines that can help us reflect in Lent. Next week, we'll be thinking, I think, about fasting and then various other things as we go on through Lent towards Easter. Do pray for us as we work out how we're going to celebrate Easter in a COVID world and those kind of things. Sarah, who is part of the Shift Church team, is often on screen with us, has managed to wangle herself an invitation to UCB2, which is United Christian Broadcasters 2, on Tuesday morning at 9:30, talking to Ruth O'Reilly Smith. And she's going to be talking about Shift Church, which is exciting. So if you've got a DAB radio, you can find UCB2. And if you're around on Tuesday morning, you can listen into that. I'm sure we'll be able to find a link to put on the Facebook page as well. So Sarah's going to be talking about Shift Church on national radio. How cool is that?
It's not just on radio. You can just get it online, UCB2.
Oh, you can listen to it online. There, Liz obviously knows more about it than I do. So there you are. Listen out for that. But apart from that, it's been lovely having you with us. If you want to contribute any thoughts we can feed in next week, do email us tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and look out on our Facebook page, because we're going to be doing daily reflections through Lent, probably about 9 o'clock in the morning, just to give us a thought for the day. So look out for those. But apart from that, I think we're done. So say goodnight, Lynn.
Goodnight, Lynn.
Say goodnight, Liz.
Goodnight, Liz.
Good night, everybody. It's been lovely to see you. See you next.